KSCU Santa Clara presents Robots Attack. Movies, TV, video games, comic books, tech stuff, news, music, but that is geek. It's on Robots Attack. Participate in the show by commenting on Facebook, tweeting them at robotsattackme, emailing the show robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Now, Robots Attack.
That's right. Welcome to Robots Attack on this Valentine's Day, or just a regular Thursday for those who don't care about Valentine's Day. I am Joe, and with me, as always, is Caleb.
Hello, everyone.
And we have two special guests.
Count them, two.
Two special guests. That you know and love. We have, Super Jason.
I'm here.
He is here. And we have, I forget her name.
Oh my gosh.
Yes, there she is. Jen. It's Jen.
Dude, I feel so unloved on this Valentine's Day.
Well, I don't know how to respond to that. We are Robots Attack, the one and only geek-centric talk show on KSU Santa Clara. We're here to bring you some geek news and entertainment, and hopefully if you're sitting there driving or working on something or other and you're lonely and sad on this day, hopefully we can cheer you up. Or if you're not lonely and sad, we can give you some entertainment fun.
There you
as
go.
Well.
Either way, we hope you're entertained.
Yes, exactly. So, Caleb.
Yes.
How you been? What you been up to? Anything exciting?
Pretty good. Exciting. The most exciting thing that I've done this weekend was work on a Lego animation for fun.
Oh, nice.
Yes.
It's pretty cool. I saw a preview.
Yeah, I'm going to...
Oh, okay.
I just finished up the animation last night, and I'm going to add some sound effects, and then I'll put it up hopefully sometime next week.
Cool.
Before the show, hopefully.
My favorite part is the little monster dance.
You shall see. All will be revealed.
Ooh. So it'll be, I assume, you'll throw it up on your YouTube channel and then
post
it on our Facebook page as well with some links. And
yeah.
Just so anyone who's interested can check it out.
Definitely.
Because I would like to see this. Super Jason, how about yourself?
I've played a bit more of the Dead Space 3. Happy with that.
Okay.
There was another game that I meant to talk about, but completely slipped my mind.
It's okay.
It's all good. How about Jen?
Nothing much to report this week, unfortunately. And thank you for remembering my name. That was probably the most exciting part of my week right there.
Hey, no problem. All right. So, for myself.
For yourself, anything interesting for you?
I too have been playing Dead Space 3. Apart from that, I recently watched Nacho Libre. I forgot how much I enjoy.
Oh yes,
that
I saw
movie.
Your tweet.
Yes, it's weird. It's like I know it's silly, and there are parts that I don't really care for, but there are other parts that like I really love. So it's sort of a like I'll watch it and go, okay, this is kind of the boring part. Oh, but then there's a part I really like, and so overall it's...
So does that make me completely uncool that I haven't seen it yet, or not really?
No. I mean, I don't think that many people really cared for it. It definitely has like the same humor that I really liked in Napoleon Dynamite, because I believe it's same people, is what I really like about the movie.
Okay.
But it has a lot more... slapsticky, like potty humor, I guess. Like there's some, fart stuff and that sort of thing.
Right,
so I don't remember that a whole lot in Napoleon Dynamite. So You know,
that's true.
That's a
not
slight
quite as
difference.
Much.
Yeah. So
they substituted that with moon boots and so.
What?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, for me, it's like the what I sort of call like expression comedy. It's how they say stuff, the looks on their face. That's what I love about that movie.
Okay.
Like
I can imagine Jack Black being pretty good at that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's a ridiculous movie, don't get me wrong. Like, but yeah, if you liked Napoleon Dynamite or you like that kind of humor, it's worth checking out if you want to. But
okay. So. Oh, I was actually, I think this was last week, but I was like really, really happy that they added the original Prophecy with Christopher Walken Netflix.
Man, I haven't watched
but
that.
But every
in a
time
while.
I try and turn it on, it won't work. And so I'm like happy that it's there, but I'm frustrated
it's not
at
working.
The same time.
Odd. Maybe so many people are trying to access Christopher Walken goodness.
Yeah, I can understand that. I mean,
it
they had to settle
system.
For Prophecy 2 before, which was a little bit weird because it was completely out of order.
Yeah, that's true.
That's no good.
If you know.
Serious.
You'll be lost. Like, who's this walking guy?
Yeah, I don't understand. There was a Prophecy before this one. I need to see the original
right.
Prophecy before I can see the second Prophecy because then I won't know. Maybe there's things that linked with the first Prophecy that are the second. It's confused, you know.
It's true. My head explodes.
Yeah, you don't want to do that to the audience.
You don't want to hurt minds. You want to expand them.
Yes.
Gently and with good things and not just explode them.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Too much air.
Although occasionally a good exploded head is, I mean, awesome.
That's true. That's what we aim to do here at this show. Explode your head with
awesome.
Geek knowledge and awesome. Yes.
All
save
right.
there just
yes.
in case. Well, I think before we get to the new releases for this week.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to have Jen read another PSA because she does a fantastic job.
All right.
Aw, thank you.
Either one of those.
Okay. And we had someone appreciate Jen on the phone line. We appreciate you as well. Thank you for listening.
Oh, yay.
Nice.
All right.
Whatever.
So I nice. Shouldn't turn her mic off.
Yes.
Okay. Hey, the yeah. audience has spoken.
They have.
Hey, thank you guys. I'm having a blast. I hope you are too. Hey, how smart is your phone?
Not very smart.
Oh, well.
Mine's smart.
Yours is smart.
If you possess futuristic alien technology, you can tune your phone into KSCU subliminal messages. The secret is to download a Shoutcast-compatible application from shoutcast.com or tunewiki.com. Then you can search for, locate, and decode our signals. Prepare yourself for KSCU world domination. We will rule! Exclamation point.
Yes.
Nice.
And when searching for it, do a search for our call letters and not the frequency numbers, because that will be much more difficult to find us.
Yeah, that's a local
good looking
thing.
Out. Good looking out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, yeah. I believe Super Jason also mentioned that as well on a previous show. He's like,
mm-hmm.
yeah.
Yeah, way easier. Because I think I went through, I don't know, dozens of stations before I found it.
Yes.
Alrighty. I'm going to tell you all, beguile you all with the amazing amounts of movies that are coming out this week.
Ooh.
Well.
That sounds a little bit ironic there.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
The big one, which is already out, but I'll mention it because I think it dropped today of
okay.
all days, which is odd. A Good Day to Die Hard.
Okay.
Then for this Friday, we have Escape from Planet Earth. Looks like an animated movie because those aliens don't look like Brendan Fraser. who's in it? Then we also have Like Someone in Love. No. 2013 version, Saving Lincoln, Shanghai Calling, The Bitter Buddha, The Power of Few, and that's going to round it out. Hey, and that has Christopher Walken in it,
hey.
And Christian Slater.
Nice.
Well, so far it's a big Walken part of the show so far.
Excellent.
Well, Valentine's Day Walken.
They go together.
They go together.
Yeah, like peanut butter and
chocolate.
And bread.
That too.
Ooh. No love for the jam. Jammy, jammy, jam. We're going through a pajammy jammy jam house
peanut
party.
Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly. Peanut butter jelly.
Peanut butter jelly with a baseball bat.
Whoa. Whoa. Jen, out of left field.
Alrighty. Well, if those movies don't thrill you, maybe these fresh on Blu-ray and DVD selections might entertain you. Bully is on Blu-ray and DVD, and it's a documentary about bullying problem in American schools.
Oh, I think that was that one that was originally rated R, and then they wanted to make it PG-13. Yeah,
they scaled it back to PG-13 so it could be shown.
Could be seen.
Yes.
Kind of defeats the purpose of, hey, kids, go see this movie about bullying. Oh, it's rated R.
Mm-hmm.
I can't.
Yeah.
Technically.
Awesome.
Technically.
Yeah. So there's that. Then there's Jedi Junkies, a celebration of the diehard Star Wars fan. And by diehard, I mean the kind of people that build life-size replicas of the Millennium Falcon.
Life-size?
Life-size.
I don't have enough room for that.
I don't know how this person did it, but apparently I haven't seen the movie myself. But yeah, it's a little bit of a send-up, but mostly a celebration of these kinds of fans. Then there is Mimesis on Blu-ray and DVD. A group of horror film fans are brought together for a special recreation of... Oh, I forgot to write that. Of Night of the Living
mystery.
Dead.
Ooh, it's a mystery.
As is to be expected, something goes horribly wrong. Just without the supernatural overtones. Then there's a movie called Robot and Frank.
Okay.
It's on DVD. It's an offbeat comedy about an aging thief and its new robotic companion. Then there's The Man with the Iron Fists on Blu-ray and DVD.
Sweet!
Small-town blacksmith aims to make a name for himself by claiming a pile of stolen gold. The only thing standing in his way is a small army of assassins. This is a modern homage to classic kung fu films with the interesting directorial debut of RZA.
Oh, snap, it's Gemini Stance.
Gemini! And then rounding out, we'll go with a drama, The Perks of Being a Wallflower, on Blu-ray and DVD. High school freshman navigates the weird world of self-actualization with the help of some high school seniors, based on a popular novel.
Has no iron fists in it, so, yeah.
That doesn't make Super Jason's criteria. Nope, no iron fist. Won't watch it. But it's about Lincoln. It's Lincoln. There's an iron...
I mean, there's sort of iron fists in that, right?
Maybe. I'll move on to video games before we get in trouble. All right. We have Aliens Colonial Marines for 360, PC, and PlayStation.
Woohoo!
We have Ormeida City of Gangsters. We have finally dropping on the PlayStation 3. All the Elder Scrolls Skyrim fans rejoice. You finally get some of the DLC, Dragonborn. There is Yu-Gi-Oh! 5Ds Decade Duels Plus for PlayStation 3, 360. Sonic and All-Stars Racing Transformed for the 3DS. We have Brain Age Concentration Training for the 3DS. And that'll wrap it up. There's some more, but that's what Google's for.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. If you're interested in picking up some comics, you might consider Katana Number One. She has her own title and a starring role in the new Batman animated show. Coincidence? Probably not. Then also Batman Number 17. It's a Batman-rific DC selection because Batman's kind of tearing up the charts over on DC. This Number 17 is going to conclude the Death of the Family story arc. Yeah, it's only like he's like, you know, really popular or something. I don't know. Next, in Marvel, there is Powers Bureau, number one. It's a new title, a new agency, and no previous reading of the Powers series necessary to enjoy this new one. Another number one, Uncanny X-Men Now! Number one.
No! No!
No!
The joke will never get old! No!
Yeah. The Flagship X title begins again. This team is led by the new, rather morose and extreme Cyclops. Over on the indie side, there is Storm Dogs number 3. It's deep space mysteries and intrigue. What's not to like? There's also The New Ghostbusters, also at number 1. The face of Ghostbusters gets, well, prettier. This crew is mostly female, and one of them looks suspiciously like Janine.
Oh man, you don't have pictures?
Well, that's what the internet is for. Star Wars number 2. This is a furthering of the adventures in the Star Wars universe using the cast of episodes 4, 5, and 6. The good ones. Then there is Assassin's Creed, The Chain, which is a graphic novel which closes off the story arc from Assassin's Creed, The Fall, and leads into the story of Assassin's Creed 3. It also features the amazing artwork of Carl Kerschel. Well worth picking up for that alone, I think.
In Caleb's humble opinion.
In my humble opinion, that is definitely worth considering.
All right. Well, we have a great show for you tonight on this special Thursday of Thursdays, because it's Thursday and Thursdays are special because that's when our show is.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, in the core tonight, we have a couple topics. We're going to get to the Skulls of the Shogun, talking about the trial, our thoughts and whatnot on that. And then because I was told it was Valentine's Day, we're going to talk about some of the geek couples we think are cool or maybe not so cool or, you know, whatever out
a
there.
Discussion,
a discussion, if you will. Exactly. And we also have Caleb's Corner tonight.
Yes.
And before all of that, we got some news. Would you like to tease the folks with some news stories? Or?
I have a story about something that will allow you to pwn noobs from the comfort of your bed.
Okay. Interesting.
Sweet.
Could be useful. All righty. Well, before we get to that, we're going to take a quick music break, and I'm going to play a track that I think is going to become a staple at weddings.
Aha.
So, you know, if you want to listen to the lyrics and stuff like that, you'll go, yeah, Joe's probably right. They're going to be playing that at weddings.
That Joe knows his stuff.
Yeah, I know my wedding songs.
This guy, he's smart.
Anyway, it's from Tegan and Sarah's new album, Heartthrob. It's called Love, They Say. All right, we are Robots Attack.
Does your landlord tell you that your children cannot play outside? If so, you have experienced housing discrimination. Children have the same rights as adults. More information is available by calling Project Sentinel at 888-324-7468.
News.
Alrighty, everyone. We are into the news, and I am leading off with a wicked cool story about the movie Aliens, so to speak. The climax being when Ripley jumps into the power loader and starts kicking tail. Well, what makes this kind of interesting is that
spoiler.
It's a fight.
Just ruin the entire thing.
1986.
ruined that almost 30-year-old movie, man. I'm sorry.
Guys.
Continue.
I'm rubbing my brow in frustration right now for all of you radio listeners out there.
Anyway, Samsung, I think. No, let me check it out real quick. It is
AMD.
No, not AMD. But it's a Japanese company that is working on making a real-life Panasonic. It's a ActiveLink, a Panasonic subsidiary, which is a venture, future-focused, kind of funky, crazy, cool thing, bend company that does the stuff that Panasonic themselves can't actually do because it, you know, anyways, they can do it. It's a research group, and they have been researching a power lifter, essentially, a power loader-like device. Not nearly as large or impressive as the power loader in Aliens, but the video of it in operation is pretty cool. It's definitely something to check out.
Cool. Did they say particular purpose they were trying to shoot for with it, or just?
I suspect it's pretty much like the original power loader was, like to help dock workers and people that move objects around that are heavier than they need to be, or that humans can't move all by themselves.
Replace the forklift kind of in a sense. All right.
A more mobile forklift, yeah.
But how can somebody get into that thing and not do the famous line in that movie that I can't repeat on the radio, you know?
Thank you.
I'm sure everyone thinks it in their mind.
Oh, heck yeah.
and then when they do the little fist pump with their thing, and then yes! they go out, and then they go on and do their work.
Then they do the little Sugar Ray dance.
Yeah. I'm sure that someone's tried that.
And then they do the cabbage patch and the sprinkler and see what else they can make this thing do.
YouTube videos abound, I imagine. Or whatever YouTube 2 or whatever is when that comes out.
Yeah.
Okay, for our second story, we have Iron Man Vision. Huh?
Cool.
Sound okay. Neat okay. to anybody?
Okay. Yeah, very cool.
People seem to like the Iron Man. And it's kind of cool, like, seeing the footage of him actually in the suit with all the little like crosshairs sprouting up all over the place and like, oh, there's a threat here and whatnot. Well, we're not actually that far off from fiction right now. Northrop Grumman is in the middle of tests for a system that really isn't anything new as far as advanced technology. It basically plugs all the technology together into one coherent system.
Okay.
And it's a really short little chunk of footage showing it, but you can kind of see how awesome it would be and how useful it would be for a fighter pilot, because basically it shows as soon as a threat pops up on the screen, it has a little three-dimensional map right there in front of you, and bloop, there it is. You know exactly where...
Bloop.
Yeah.
Bloop, there it is. Yeah.
You know exactly where a missile's coming from or anti-aircraft fire, anything like
that.
Nice
one,
Jen. Yeah.
Thank you.
So, yeah. Bloop, there it is.
That sounds actually really cool. In all honesty, I would like to be interested to see when that gets incorporated into the cockpit design of the fighter jet.
Yeah, right now the system is called the Electro-Optical Distributed Aperture System.
Whoa.
Yeah.
That's...
I probably should have led with that, right? Not then led and, like, completely derailed everybody's thoughts about it. It was complete and total error starting with Iron Man Vision.
What's the... is it acronym or... What is it?
Well, they cut off the EO for it for some reason, so it's just DAS.
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 DAS Vision.
See, DAS, I think of an O in between, so I say DAS. Okay.
There you go.
Not quite.
Not that I dislike DAS. I mean, no. I spent many
like
a happy year.
It's German. DAS Vision. Like DAS Boot.
Just not quite as clever when, you know, it's like, SHIELD. You know, when the person says the whole thing, and then you're like, SHIELD, we changed it. Like, oh, hey.
Clever.
Yeah.
Sword, or whatever.
Yes. Yeah, and it would be a little bit awkward, too, if they would have left it. It would be like, AO-DAS. AO-DAS. Although it does sound like a line from, like, a discarded line from Star Wars or something like that.
Yeah,
some bounty hunter Eldas.
Maybe that's what people were saying.
No,
when Luke couldn't go get at the Tashi station to get the power converters. That's like
that's true. Especially that's once you find out what the power converters were from the robot chicken thing.
Yeah. Exactly. All right, moving on from that to a story about giant cookie stolen by cookie monster impersonator recovered in Germany. All right, this story from mercurynews.com. Okay, we got Berlin. German police have recovered a cookie sculpture that may have been stolen by someone impersonating the cookie monster.
Giggle.
Spokeswoman Jacoby Hears says the 20-kilogram or 44-pound gilded sculpture was found Tuesday morning outside a university. It was hanging from the neck of a horse sculpture with a red ribbon. The century-old cookie was reported stolen last month from the office of a bakery company in Hanover. A local newspaper later received a letter demanding cookies be delivered to children at a hospital. The paper also received a picture of someone dressed like Sesame Street's Cookie Monster holding what appeared to be the stolen cookie.
Dang, the plot thickens.
Yeah. The Bosslin company promised a reward of 52,000 packets of cookies for a charitable cause if their emblem turned up. No suspect has been apprehended.
Dun, dun, dun.
Was it you, Joe? You just wanted a story for us to tell.
Well, that's true. In my spare time, I went to Germany.
And with all that extra money he's got.
Germany.
It's true. I mean, money's
stealing
just,
things
fallen.
For a good cause.
Yeah, it's just fallen out of my pockets, really. It's
get
just,
that private jet going on and everything.
That's why it's tight. I mean.
Yeah.
All right.
Exactly.
So I teased you all with the thought of being able to game from bed, but you know, with a wireless controller, that seems sort of obvious. But this bed will do you one better. It has a reading light built in. It has a gaming PC built in. It has a connections for your favorite gaming device of choice, be it PS3 or whatever, or 360. Plus, it has a surround sound system and a 3D capable projector built in.
Okay, I'm starting to get more impressed.
Yeah, the pictures of it looks like a piece of rather.
Wait,
rather,
you don't have anything more for me? That's it.
Well, it's expensive. I'll leave it at that. it's quite the luxury item.
Yeah,
let's put it that
it
way.
It actually looks pretty cool. As much as I kid about the multimedia bed.
Yeah, it's got a pretty interesting like touch interface on the headboard for controlling functions of the sound system and the display, and then you have your game system at your feet, and then you don't actually have to leave your bed in the morning to start taking care of business. You can jump into Modern War. You can start taking them out in Black Ops 2 before you get out of bed.
I'm not playing multiplayer with you ever again.
Hey, what type of business do you think I'm up to?
I don't know, but I don't think I want to be online for it.
That sounds pretty dangerous.
Fair enough.
All right, what have we got now?
Well, I'll add one last little bit to the last story in order to introduce this one properly. All of that technology that I was talking about, it's basically being rigged up for the new F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, I believe, the Lightning.
Mm-hmm.
And anyway, so Iran didn't want to be outdone, and they released a whole bunch of footage.
I thought you said Iran, like... You ran.
No,
I ran
country
so far away.
Iran.
Okay.
I thought so too, actually.
See, I'm not crazy alone.
Well, no. they put together their own fighter jet that is reportedly a stealth fighter.
Okay.
That it looks a lot like the F-35, and like the tail is almost identical and whatnot. So they had a big press conference where they showed off the thing. Well, some savvy journalists have put together some stuff kind of diffusing some of the fear of this stealth fighter that Iran put together, because they point out a lot of things that just simply would not work on it.
Okay.
it has, instead of the normal larger wings in either a delta pattern or like forward... it has two kind of stubby wings, and one's like sort of bent, and it basically would have no chance of vectoring enough air to get it aloft.
Mm.
And so that's a sort of a sticking point.
Yeah.
And then it has inlets for whatever engine is supposed to be inside of it, which is properly hidden, of course.
I mean,
you wouldn't want to give up those secrets in a press conference if you're Iran. Because, I mean, this is obviously the top-of-the-line jet engine.
Mm-hmm.
But the vents for this are minuscule. So the chance of any sort of engine actually pulling enough air into it probably won't really work all that well.
Maybe it's a future engine. It just dissipates heat by
maybe it's like the worm drive from Hunt for Red October, except mm-hmm. for the air. Mm-hmm. It just like pushes air through it magnetically or yeah. something like that.
Something like that.
Dang. Okay, I'm starting to get afraid of this thing now. This is obviously advanced technology. Well,
aliens,
anyway,
I tell you.
If it is based on our current understanding of aircraft technology, even the tail of the thing wouldn't really work all that well because it has no vectored thrust whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
Which I know for like most people, it's like, oh, well, I don't need vectored thrust. But basically what it means is...
Speak for yourself.
That's what she said.
Well, it doesn't have any way of pushing the hot air out of the airplane without setting the tail on fire.
Ah, that could be a problem.
That sounds yeah. like a bit of an issue. Maybe it's a special ceramic tail that will take the heat or something.
Well, see, here's where my expertise comes into play a little bit with some of the aircraft fixing stuff.
Ding ding ranks in airplane fixing.
The feet. It's obviously been bondoed like crazy. You can see like the really bad bondo job all over the back wings and the places where the vectored thrust should be.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like, this is obviously not a real airplane. But they're selling it like crazy. They have generals up in front of it and everything, and they have a guy sit in it, which is actually the best part, in my view, because
mm-hmm.
he gets in it and it shows off how tiny this thing really is.
Oh, okay.
Because he ends up looking giant, like sticking up above it. So, yeah, there's a bunch of other extra little things that kind of pick it apart on, I believe, Gizmodo's website, and I'll try and throw it up for people to be able to go through at their leisure.
Sounds good.
Yeah. Yeah. If you're interested in any of the stories we mentioned, we post all the links on our Facebook page. So
mm-hmm.
definitely go and check
when
that
Facebook
out.
Works for us.
Yeah. That's true. Okay. Well, I've got a story that, you know, kind of sort of fits the day that is this Thursday.
Ooh.
And it's about guppies. Wait, don't change the station yet.
Okay. Bubble guppies? I'm a supporter of guppies.
Well, here you go. This is how guppies use ugly friends to seem more attractive.
Oh, I know man. People like that.
Wait, what are you trying to say?
Okay.
I'm afraid which one I am.
Well, I'll read the story and maybe we'll find out. Okay, so this story from the SF Gate. London, when it comes to mating, guppies treasure their ugly friends because they look so good by comparison. An article published Wednesday by Britain's Royal Society says that male guppies prefer to associate with their drab-colored counterparts when females are around. Quote, males actively choose the social context that maximizes their relative attractiveness, the article said. Or, as lead author Celia Gasparini put it, if you are surrounded by ugly friends, you look better. As apparently Jen has pointed out, she knows some people that have done that. Well, you said you knew some. You know people that have done that. Uh huh. Okay.
I'm shaking my head as hard as I can.
Gasparini and her colleagues at Italy's University of Padua built their theory on a kind of guppy dating game. An aquarium was set up with one female in partition on either end. Guppy bachelorette number one had two attractive, brightly colored males placed on either side of her. Guppy bachelor number two, or bachelorette number two, was stuck with uglier, drab-colored fish. When a male guppy was put in the middle of the tank and given the choice of which female to saddle up to, bachelorette number two was the more popular pick, with male guppies spending about 62% of their time hanging around her side of the aquarium. What's more, the researchers found that the time guppies spent with bachelorette number two correlated with their unattractiveness. The uglier the guppy, the less likely it was that he would hang around the brightly colored fish placed next to bachelorette number one. Because it could be argued that guppies avoided their brightly colored pals because attractive fish were more aggressive or because predators were more likely to spot them, the experiment was repeated. Researchers ran it without any females and again with the lights in the male enclosure turned down so that the test guppies couldn't see them. Gasparini, who is now a postdoctoral researcher at the University of Western Australia, said the extra experiments showed that or predators weren't a factor, but a big question remained. Could results from the aquarium be applied to a night out at the bar? Quote, as a researcher, I cannot compare human mating systems with the guppies one, she said. But if you ask me as a person, sure. I say this tactic working pretty well with humans. If you want to impress someone, do you think you will look more attractive in comparison with Mr. Bean or George Clooney? End quote.
Clooney ain't got nothing on me. Seriously, stay away, Clooney.
Well, it's true. He's not very Norwegian.
It's true.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
I'm guessing.
Not particularly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So let's see from
guppy mating rituals.
Guppy mating rituals.
I just love the idea of test guppies. That's kind of cool. Like, for some reason, I imagine tiny little helmets on them.
Oh, man. Well, if you are just joining us, we are Robot Attack on KSCU Santa Clara, 103.3 FM, The Underground Sound, the one and only Geek Center talk show. We're in the news, and Caleb is about to drop an amazing story.
That's right. It's one of our robot stories. It is about Penguin Spy in the Huddle, which is a new documentary featuring a year hanging out with penguins and seen through the eyes of 50 different spy cameras. Now, that doesn't sound so interesting in and of itself. These spy cameras are actually pretty awesome because the production team had to develop several different kinds of disguises for these.
Please tell me robo-penguins.
I'm getting to that.
You ruined
kinds
it!
Of penguins which brought them to Rockhopper Cam, Emperor Cam, Humboldt Cam. And these are different breeds of penguins, for those
nice.
Who are not sure. The Rockhopper Cam penguin robot was particularly impressive. It is a bipedal robot that features 20 degrees of freedom of movement and a gyro accelerometer sensors, so it can waddle over challenging terrain and pick itself up when it falls over. The producers say it was so realistic that some of the penguins accepted it as part of the colony. They also had called the Fluffy Chick Cam, which did double duty to keep the camera from freezing and also to look like it was part of the nest.
Clever.
Mm-hmm. And some of the cameras were more pedestrian, as in like they looked like a rock.
But one of the rock.
Yes. but it's really amusing because there's a clip of the camera like following a penguin, so you see this giant rock rolling behind the penguin.
Nice.
It's a
Dundee.
The show will be premiering on the BBC sometime later this year. So
cool. Check
it out. Look for Penguins Spy
if you
in
want
the
to.
Huddle. If you would like to look for Penguins Spy in the Huddle. It sounds like it'll be one of the more interesting documentaries of penguins because they actually got cameras literally into the pile of penguins, which when they cuddle up for warmth during the cold winter.
Wow.
To protect the eggs.
All I can think about is the supervillain, you know, from Batman, Penguin. It's like this, we're on our way, you know?
Batman, you fought me for the last time.
I was thinking it was a missed opportunity if none of them were named after the penguin from Adventure Time, but...
Yeah. Yeah, I think they
can't have everything, I suppose.
Yeah. Unfortunately.
Alrighty, well, I think that's going to wrap up our news portion of the show. Unless there's
another robot story.
You have another one?
Sort of.
Go for it.
Okay.
Fine, totally ruined that. That's cool. Go ahead. Apparently we have more news.
No, we can be done if you want.
No, now it's just awkward. Go ahead.
I don't want to pressure you. Anyway, British troops are trying out a nifty new little spy copter that's kind of cool because it's just the size of a sparrow.
Huh.
Yeah.
Jack Sparrow?
Slightly smaller than that.
Ah, okay.
I forget what was the sparrow from the Monty Python thing, but anyway, the size of one of those sparrows.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway.
Western or...
Western or African sparrows?
I believe a Western.
Okay.
Yeah, anyway.
African European.
Anyway.
They grew up by the husk.
Despite it being the size of a sparrow, the thing is called the Black Hornet. And it's created, and this is why I probably noticed it the most, it's created by a Norwegian company called Aatrox Dynamix. And yeah, it's already out there on the field. It seems like one of those little sci-fi things that shouldn't be around yet, but British troops are already using them.
That's kind of cool.
Thanks to Norwegian ingenuity.
There you go. Bringing it back around.
Yeah, take that, George Clooney. You know, I don't know why, but, you know, maybe funded some of it or something. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. I'm sure, yeah.
All right, well, I think that wraps up our news.
Yes, that should do it. Show.
Wait!
There's more. No.
No, don't turn my mic off.
I swear I've got more.
All righty, well, we're going to take a quick music break, and then we'll come back with Caleb's Corner. Would you like to tease the folks about Caleb's Corner?
It's I can't remember if I talked about it before or not, but this is going to be about the one of the more hot-button topics going on right now with the...
This isn't the Legos thing, is it?
No.
Okay, good.
No, this is going to be about people's stance on the issue of gun control.
Oh, okay.
Okay. I don't think we've done a Caleb's Corner thing about it or something. But
so. There you go.
I'm good.
Oh, okay. It looked like you were like jumping up towards the mic, and so you know, I would have pushed the button to turn it off.
But,
you know,
She has fans.
I kid. That's true.
She actually got someone to call in for her. That's more popular than all of us combined.
That is true. That is true.
Feel bad because of my popularity.
I know you're.
No,
it's great.
It's fine.
It's yeah. Awesome.
Okay, well, during the last music break, I said I played a song that I think would be featured at weddings. Mm-hmm. This one,
Funerals?
Not so much. All right, we are Robots Attack.
You're listening to Robots Attack. Follow them on Twitter at Robots Attack Me. Email them at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. Like them on Facebook. And check out the website at robotsattack.me.
And now, it's time for Caleb's Corner.
Hello, everyone. It's Caleb's Corner, my section of highly biased, self-opinionated stuff that I get to tell you about because I think it's interesting and important.
It's our editorial section, sort of.
Yeah. Yes. And as I mentioned, I'm going to talk. The subject that came into my mind today was gun control, and right now that's kind of a big thing going on in the news and around the political world.
And on Facebook.
And Facebook, and
it's so trending right now.
Yes, it is a trending topic, I'm sure, on almost every significant social network and some of the probably insignificant and or lesser known ones, I should say. They can't be insignificant. And there's, you know, there's a lot of discourse, and no one's been entirely sure how to deal with it. And one of the things that I thought was interesting was the New York Times... recently, or last month, posted a sort of a letter from the Australian Prime Minister talking about what Australia has done to curb control their gun violence in their own country. And okay. I realized that Australia is not the same population as the United States, and have the same, you know, background as us, but they're not so different in terms of their founding and things like that. But the main thing is like they found he instituted a very strict gun control national policy. It was rather unpopular for a while, but everyone eventually got on board and participated in it. And as a result, they have had a significant drop in the amount of gun violence in their country. This doesn't stop all violence, naturally. I mean, if a person is violent, they are a person is violent. You can't stop that. But they have reduced the amount of gun violence as a result of reducing the number of guns in the country and controlling what does come in. So, it's that's kind of interesting hearing a real life practical example of a country that that did something about gun violence in their own and within their own borders. And not that we need to exactly emulate everything they did, but it's something to consider that, you know, it can be done. It's not a hopeless cause, and it's not a everyone lost everything. It's they figured out how to work for the greater good of everyone involved.
Was there any sort of examples of what they did, or
let's see, the
no, none.
The main thing they did starts with a they had a federally financed gun buyback scheme where almost 700,000 guns were bought back and destroyed, which would be equivalent to about 40 million here in the States. They kept the number of high-powered assault rifles to an absolute minimum. Like it was strictly like military and law enforcement, like, you know, people that are trained to handle such things. And yes, if you make certain kinds of guns illegal, only the criminals have them. But a criminal is going to gather such things kind of by nature. So that's not really going to stop them. But keeping it out of the hands of the average citizen slows down the amount of bad things that can happen to, you know, a manageable amount.
Mm-hmm.
And so that that's something. And the other thing that I thought was kind of interesting, side related, was an article I found where Bruce Willis, which was kind of a combination of two interviews, one with Bruce Willis and one with Sylvester Stallone, about the effect of violence in media and gun control, and are they related? Should they be, you know, should these action stars hold some responsibility over, you know, creating violent people, quote unquote?
Mm.
And both of them thought that violence in media is not inherently creating violent people. They both took that saying, like, you know, like, people are going to, if someone's mentally unstable, they're going to be mentally unstable. And a person with, and giving them, and if that person has access to a firearm, mm-hmm. that makes them potentially much more dangerous. So, Bruce Willis's stance was seems to be fairly in line with what the NRA kind of goes with, which is, you know, we shouldn't take the gun rights away from people.
Mm-hmm.
And he isn't, and he even, but he doesn't admit that he's not sure like what a good solution to this is. He also supports people's rights to own a weapon. I'm slightly paraphrasing. There'll be links to their mm-hmm. fuller statements, online on our pages. And, Stallone was a little more pro-governmental control, but the main thing he said, his big thing that he brought up kind of to round out his argument, was the thing that we've all really dropped the ball on, especially here in the United States, is proper health care for people who are mentally unstable.
Mm-hmm.
And, yes?
Yeah, I definitely agree with that.
Same here.
Yeah, and you know, the whole basic concept of having you know, a sane person doesn't watch a violent movie and go out and do an insane thing. A person that is already somewhat unstable, that might be a trigger for them. But you can't control people's minds.
Mm.
You know, you can't control what how they think. We can help them.
Not yet.
Yeah. We can help them balance their minds. We can help them, you know, with
coping
and all kinds. You know, there's things that can be done to help a person balance a mind, but you cannot control that part. So it seems to me that some sort of control on the firearm side, you know, at a national level, a governmental level, and then if we can also come alongside that with increasing or improving the amount of mental health care that is available to people in this country, I think if we put those two together, we will very much reduce the amount of kind of, for lack of a better word, crazy violence. Not that I realize that mental health doesn't necessarily mean crazy, but it will tone down the sort of
imbalance. Well, not even imbalance.
The senseless tragedy that happens with some of these cases, and you know, it's not saying any one particular group is at fault for anything. It's just this is a societal dropping of the ball. Or
we're looking at you, penguins.
So yeah,
the penguin from Batman was an arms dealer. Is an arms dealer. So that's what you meant, right?
Booyah!
So it seems like, you know, there's an example of, you know, governmental control of guns that works. And if we can pull ourselves together financially and medically, that will help. And I just think that in my mind, if we can get everyone at least somewhat on board with this, I think that'll be good. And I'm not entirely sure we need to enact new laws. I think one thing we definitely need to do is find better ways of enforcing the laws we already have, because there is a fair number of gun control laws on the books.
We just need to tons of them, actually.
Yeah, we just need to find ways of enforcing them. It's like, similarly, I remember someone in New York that when they had the rampant gang and drug problems, they started enforcing the laws for trafficking of illegal substances, and they started reducing the amount of problems they were having with that just by enforcing the laws that were already on the books.
Yeah.
So,
well, and a lot of people don't know this, but both New York and Detroit actually have an outright ban on handguns.
Huh.
And it's helped a bit. But at the same time, it is a little bit of the problem where the bad guys still get them.
Yes. And the bad guys, because they are a criminal element, they will always be able to find a way to do what
they're going
to
do, the criminal things.
Yes.
For some reason, that's how they operate.
Yeah. And that's something you also cannot, quote unquote, stop.
Yeah.
Because that's a person's mental thing. They're thinking their own thing. So, but doing what we can to curb the open access to things that are unhealthy or unwieldy is, I think, a good step.
Yeah.
Yeah. To me, it seems like we need to figure out what is an acceptable way to actually enforce these laws, because a lot of it comes down to privacy rights and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you don't want to be barging into people's homes, like...
Give me your guns!
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's a... Having, like, sort of roadside checks or something like that is also equally distasteful for people. But we need to figure out if something in between those things or akin to them is what we want to do in this country.
Yeah.
Because, unfortunately, that we know of right now, that's the only way to really enforce these laws, unless you catch somebody in the middle of doing something bad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that's where one of the things that Australia did was they had a voluntary, they had a buyback thing where it's like, you turn in your firearm, we will give you blank amount of, we will give you money for it. So,
which is great if you have a lot of money to throw at that.
we've done that here too, as well.
Yeah, and I'm sure that's, and I think that from what I heard, some of these things have helped. So,
yeah. Well, if you'd like to let us know what you think, you can hit us up on our Facebook page, leave a comment. You can tweet us at robotsattackme. You can email us at robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And
correct.
Yeah, let us know your thoughts on this. It's a pretty big issue that's going around now. So before I get to my entertainment news, I'm going to have Jen beguile you with a PSA.
Woo! Get great deals on thousands of books, movies, and music at the Friends of the Library Book Sale. The sale will be held in the Cedar Room of the Central Park Library on February 16th from 10 a.m. till 2 p.m., and proceeds support library programs and services. The library is located on 2635 Homestead Road in Santa Clara.
Sweet. Alrighty.
entertainment news.
I always wish I had a big giant sword and spiky hair whenever that comes on.
Your wish is true.
Yay!
Me too.
Alrighty, I'll make this quick so we can get to our core topics. First off, we have some entertainment news about X-Men Days of Future Past. Ooh. It will be shot in 3D. Director Bryan Singer revealed this week that X-Men Days of Future Past will be shot in 3D, making it the first X-Men film to do so. Quote, I'll probably use some of the motion capture technology for certain things in Days of Future Past, and of course the 3D technology. I'll be shooting native stereo on X-Men, the filmmaker revealed to Cinema Blend. Singer was also asked why he's been so secretive about revealing plot points for Days of Future Past, especially considering how open he was with First Class. Quote, there are things that we're going to do in this movie that haven't been done in X-Men films before, he responded. Stuff involving time travel and stuff involving certain technology and certain science fiction aspects that haven't been used before in an X-Men film. We'd like to keep some of that a surprise. And I agree. This is coming out July 18th of 2014. And on a sort of similar note involving X-Men, kind of, the Wolverine director on the film's chronology. In a recent interview, director James Mangold explained his process for approaching his latest film, The Wolverine, which centers on Logan in Japan and his complicated past, present, and future. Of course, what's really interesting is that, unlike Wolverine's previous solo film, which we'll all forget about, Mangold's story takes place after the events of X-Men The Last Stand. But just how tied is The Wolverine to the X-Men films? Quote, it's set after X-Men 3, but I wouldn't call it a sequel to X-Men 3, Mangold told Entertainment Weekly. You have a choice the second you enter a world like this with a huge amount of comic books, backstories, three movies, a Wolverine Origins movie. You have to decide where you're going to exist in relation to all these other things, particularly if you're working with an actor who actually played the character in other films. Mangold went on to add that Chris Claremont and Frank Miller's 1982 Wolverine saga, upon which the film is based, played a big part in deciding where the film would take place. Quote, I felt it was really important to find Logan at a moment where he was stripped clean of his duties to the X-Men, his other allegiances, and even stripped clean of his own sense of purpose. I was fascinated with the idea of portraying Logan as a Ronin, the definition of which is a samurai without a master, without a purpose. Kind of a soldier who is cut loose. War is over. What does he do? What does he face? What does he believe anymore? Who are his friends? What is his reason for being here anymore? Does he wear pants or a shirt? I think those questions are essentially interesting when you're dealing with a character who is essentially immortal.
And sexy.
That is Jen's opinion. It was only to my advantage. I'll admit, yes, he's an attractive man. It was only to my advantage to set it after the X-Men films because the X-Men had effectively ended at that point. A lot of the key characters had died. And go continue to, sorry, sort of a spoiler, I guess. Though he doesn't say who, so, you know. There was a sense, if I'm locating this film not 5 minutes after the other movie, but a period of time after that last X-Men movie, I could find a Logan who was living separate from the world. He is no longer a member of some superhero team. So, and I snagged both of those stories from IGN. I will post the links so you can check them out in all their glory on our Facebook page. And that will wrap up the entertainment news. Let's take a quick music break and then come back with the core to discuss Skulls of the Shogun and some couples that we think are cool and
geeky
and stuff, yes. Since it is Valentine's Day. So, you know, Alrighty, we are Robots All Talk.
You are now entering the core. Enjoy your stay.
That's right. Welcome to the core. We are going to now discuss Skulls of the Shogun.
Skulls of the Shogun.
So, I did not play this, but I that Caleb and Super Jason did. See, This way it's better because then I can ask you questions. It's like a sort of an interview.
Okay, thing. Ask away. Whatever.
So, what is this game exactly?
Well, there's like a shogun.
He's got like a skull. and
yeah, at least one at all times, right?
Yeah,
right. Okay, he's got at least one skull. And then he collects more? Was that how it...
Something like that.
Okay, he collects more skulls.
Yeah. No.
And he's a shogun. Right.
So I guess we can move on to our next topic.
Now, if you've played Final Fantasy Tactics, it's very much like that, but instead of being on a grid, you actually have more of a free range of movement around the environment.
Yeah, it ends up feeling like a video game version of a tabletop game like Warhammer 40K or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
Because it gives like a big circle around your character, and you mm-hmm. can move any place in that circle.
Right.
And whatever's left over from that, it measures that and makes another circle that you can do extra stuff after you've done, like, an attack or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
So it ends up pretty neat as far as that goes, because it's a lot more freeform than having to move through a regular grid or hexagons or whatever's.
Yeah. The facing of your character doesn't matter as much, but... because the movement is now more important,
yeah.
Which is a change different from Tactics. The animation is pretty fun. The style is kind of unique in terms of the appearance.
It's pretty sharp, yeah.
And the writing is actually surprisingly good. It's that sort of weird mix of like ancient Japan and modern day sensibilities.
Okay.
So like they'll throw little dialogue things in that are just sort of, you know, modern day references, kind of anachronistic storytelling techniques and stuff like that. I think it's pretty fun.
Yeah, it's okay. No, no, actually, I enjoyed the game a lot, and I probably will end up grabbing it myself later on, just because the second little level that they throw on to the demo, it gives you sort of a taste of the more complicated tactics that they're going to throw at you later in the game.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, they don't go and do a really good job explaining those.
Yeah.
And so I just want to figure out how they work a little bit better.
Yeah, I had a similar reaction to it too. Like I played through the first level area, and I thought that was kind of cool. It was a pretty safe explanation. Gave a lot of explanation about how things are working, what they're doing, why units are behaving a certain way, how to make them behave better in a new way. But when they dump you into the second area, and you're like, "Huh, what the heck's going on?"
Yeah, they introduce
like three new elements.
Right.
All
yeah.
At once.
Okay. Just to straighten things out a little bit, it's basically the idea that you have this really powerful general
mm-hmm.
that was killed before his time and ends up in the spirit world.
Right.
And
spirit world.
Right. Yeah. He's told that, okay, you're just like another person now. You need to wait in this line.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like this big muckety-muck guy. So he's like, no.
I'm not waiting in this line.
I can kill people. Yeah. And so he proceeds to do that.
Yeah, he's sort of cutting his way to the top of the underworld.
Right. And it's cool, too, because it ends up being, not unlike Tactics, you're gathering people to your side, and
mm-hmm.
you're making an army along with you. So they have... one thing that Tactics didn't have, well, I guess sort of had... you have mounted characters,
mm-hmm.
so there's a bunch more range on it, and
right.
It still has like ranged characters and stuff like that. But the thing that I was really looking forward to that I want to go through the normal game with is the magic stuff, because that
mm-hmm.
was the stuff that really shined in the Tactics game, and I have a feeling that this would be equally as powerful, just because they seem to... They go with the entire Shogun theme, and the entire thing is done up very, like, Japanese cartoony
mm-hmm.
style.
Yeah, it's a very manga anime-esque style.
Yeah, it a little bit more of an American reflection on it, just because it's sort of American chibi in a weird sort of way.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it ends up looking really cool and flowing really well. It has a neat little twist on the turn system as well. Mm-hmm. Instead of just doing straight up back and forth, like one person does this and then it switches to the other person, it has a group of things that can happen all at once.
Yeah,
so you can do five actions. Mm-hmm. And then it switches to the other person.
Well, which, that's interesting.
Yeah, it's a lot different, and it makes it so you have to plan a lot better than you would in the normal tactics games, because mm-hmm. you have to think about an entire wave of troops moving at you.
Mm. Right. And then when your troops return, can move in and out of formations, that will add extra abilities. Like if you have... like a narrow passageway in a level, like between two pieces of cover, you
okay.
can actually like line your troops in there, and they will create an impassable wall.
Yeah, they call it a spirit wall.
A spirit wall, yeah. But it's a magical force field, and it can keep your general safe from attack from them and stuff like that. So it's
if you lose your general, you lose the game.
Game over. Mm. Yeah.
Game over, man.
Game over, man. Game over.
So what's the, is there like a job system like in tactics, or how does that work?
I think it's just basic troop types. You get infantry, you have cavalry, and then you have special characters like monks that have magical abilities.
Yeah, I think it's the act of getting through it, and if you impress people that are around you, you attract them as followers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's how you get the different troop types. And the extra little thing that happens that expands things for you personally seems to be actually what the game is titled around, is whenever something dies, it ends up kind of being a takeoff of the original Final Fantasy Tactics. Like mm-hmm. there was a possibility it would leave a crystal. And those crystals were really important because they could either like completely boost up a character's health to max,
mm-hmm.
or they could give them special abilities that the previous character had. Well, in this one, it leaves a skull behind. And these are all like spirit world things. They all are very skeletal anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So what the general ends up, actually in the intro that I thought was really awesome, the general ends up commanding one of his troops after he'd like taken down a guy, and it's just like the bad guy or the enemy's skull on the floor. Well, eat the skull. And everybody on his team is like, wait.
Eat the skull? That's disgusting.
Yeah, that doesn't seem right. Should we? Heck, I'm going to do it. And chows down on the skull. And it's sort of the same sort of thing. It boosts your character's power and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
But
health.
The general ends up not only getting a boost in power and health, it gets extra abilities and gets bigger and tougher and whatnot. Mm-hmm. So
yeah,
that's kind of cool. And has more moves that it can do.
Yes.
This does sound interesting. Now I feel bad that I didn't play the demo before I got here.
You should.
It's fun to try out. I think it could be a really interesting game if you're into sort of a more tactical scenario for your gameplay.
Yeah, I'll give it a shot.
Definitely.
Yeah, and it's cool too because it seems to play up the versus idea a little bit more than any of the other games that I've seen, unless it's a tabletop sort of mm-hmm. deal.
Cool. Alrighty, well, if you're just joining us, we are Robots Attack, the one and only Geek Center talk show on KSCU Santa Clara. We're in the core. We just discussed Skulls of the Shogun. And before we get to our next core topic, Jen will read us another fine PSA.
The Library of Congress has unveiled Congress.gov. This is a new website that will eventually replace Thomas.gov as the government site for accessing free, fact-based legislative information. The Congress.gov site includes bill status and summary, bill text, House and Senate member profiles, and a number of new features, including effective display on mobile devices. To learn more, you can visit Congress.gov.
Information is power, people.
Yes.
Go get informed about what your Congress critter is doing.
Congress critter, I like that.
But information always drains the power on my phone, so. You
know. wah, wah, wah. How are you?
Okay. Now, moving on to our next topic, which fits in with the whole Valentine's thing. Now, gentlemen and lady, I remembered you were here.
Oh, thank you.
I grabbed a...
What's her name again?
Oh.
June.
Oh.
Jen. Okay. June.
Christopher Walken can't remember my name.
Oh. Well, he's older. He's gotten up there in years. But.
It's true.
So, okay.
Have you seen his tail lately?
So, I grabbed a couple lists from IGN. One is the 10 most badass couples in movie history. So, movie couples. And then the other one were comic book related couples. So, I could go through those. Mm-hmm. And we can kind of go, oh, that's a good choice or not. Or if you guys have your own list or some ones you feel like, I mean, we can do both. I just, how would you, lady and gentleman, like to do this?
I've got a list.
Okay. Would you like to do your list then?
Sure, I'll do a list.
Do you have it in order of like number one?
Unfortunately, no. Is it in no particular order?
Okay.
Fair enough.
Okay, so I'm thinking the animated series, but I have Batman and Catwoman.
Yeah.
Okay, now, is this a mix of entertainment arenas, or is it all animation? Is it movies?
It's a mix.
It's a mix, okay.
It's a mix.
Just for the audience, so I know.
Okay, so should I just go through like one of, you know, just run through the list, or should we like take time to discuss it?
I mean, if feel free to jump in, anyone.
That works.
When mentioned,
yeah, the Catwoman was one of the ones I mentioned also. Yeah, that and the Talia al Ghul is a nice book end kind of the Batman romance triangle.
Yeah, I mean, I love the duality of this particular couple because you've got, you know, Batman who is absolutely, you know, always good, you know, in almost every in almost every incantation, you know. And then you've got Catwoman who sometimes she's good, but in her mind she's always doing good. Mostly. I mean, obviously sometimes she's just stealing stuff to have stuff, but
I've always sort of liked that idea just because it seems to be the state of humanity. Like there's very few people who think they're the bad guy.
This
also
is true.
Very true, yeah. Yeah. And I love stories like that. This is also why I love X-Men because, you know, Xavier, I mean, Magneto just thinks he's doing the absolute best thing.
Mm-hmm.
Also on the list from the same universe, I have Harley and the Joker.
as another dysfunctional and codependent relationship.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love the Joker from the animated series. And then I have a soft spot for eccentric characters. And both of these ones would hit the list, I believe.
Yes, they are eccentric and they are...
Yeah,
I forget what the topic was once before, but we've talked about them as a couple before.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that I was very against that one as a couple.
I think it was during our top villains discussions.
Mm-hmm. And the main reason for me is that I've never really felt like Harley. I think, she's hot. I'll give her that. But she's never seemed like a sympathetic character to me. Like, I understand like her being taken advantage of by Joker and whatnot, but she's still evil. I mean, there's no two ways about it.
Oh yeah, she's effing crazy.
Yeah, I mean, every now and again, it's okay to have an absolutely unredeemable person. I think, you know, character in these sort of things.
No, never.
Plus, this is Jen's list.
This is my list. My list.
I'm just judging.
Judging with your judgy eyes.
And that's why we love you. That's why the audience loves you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, on to the next one, unless there's any other comments.
No.
Okay. From Star Trek Next Gen, Riker and Troy.
Oh, yeah.
Yes, I mean, I was like 10, I think, when this show was on, and I've always had a crush on Riker, for one thing.
Beard or no beard? Which, when they're in the relationship?
Ooh, good question.
you know, I usually don't like the beards, but he rocks the beard. I gotta go with the beard.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So just when he has the beard, when the.
I can see, you know, first season he looks like a little boy, like in comparison.
That is true. Yeah. Compared to Picard, everybody looks like a little boy.
It's true.
Tiana Troi looked like a little boy compared. Sorry, I digress.
And then Troi was a character that I always empathized with, for lack of a better word here. No pun intended. I know. I really liked her as a character. And like I said, she was probably the one that I most identified with. So I, as a couple, it was just like, oh, it's so cute.
Mm. Fail. Get a real Betazoid.
Man. A lot of hate for the Betazoids.
On to the next one.
Okay. Not a half-breeds, at least.
Yeah.
All right. So a little bit newer couple we have from Firefly, mm-hmm. Kaylee and Simon.
Oh, that's a good choice.
Yes.
Man, I disagree with all of these.
What's wrong with Kaylee and Simon?
Okay, Kaylee's cool. Simon, douchey. Sorry. It's just the facts.
Well, this one I like the dynamicism. Is that, that's not the word, is it? It's just dynamic.
That's a Bushism right there.
We'll let it go.
Excuse me.
That's some strategery right there.
I too could run for president.
There are things you know and things we don't know. Oh wait, no, that's different. That's somebody else.
Okay, so I mean, I like how, you know, it's pretty well established in the beginning about how you know, she's comfortable out in the verse where there's no laws and everything else, and he's so prim and proper, and I love the dynamic. Yes, thank you.
it's a nice contrast, because like she's very sort of she's the engineer, and she's not only is she the engineer, she's actually about the engines, like getting, you know, into the getting her hands dirty sort of way. And Simon is also that in a way, because he's a doctor, but he's also on the clean side of that equation.
Yeah, I hadn't really thought about it that way. And I'd never really thought about it. It kind of stems off of it. I'd never thought that really Kaylee is always the most important character out of those two, because sure, mm-hmm. Simon can save a life, but right. Kaylee is repeatedly saving the entire crew's life.
Exactly.
Okay, I've got two more here.
Okay.
One, I don't know if any of you guys have read Ready Player One.
Not yet.
Not yet. I have it on my list of...
Yes.
Like, never will.
Oh, all right.
This guy.
So I was going to be the rebel.
Okay, so I mean, it's a kind of a spoiler, but...
What is it, number one, since I am unfamiliar?
Okay, so it's a book. There's talks of making a movie out of this, but that's like way in the future. So it's basically a dystopian world where everything is online, and the online world is more utopian. Oh, don't give me that look.
Super Jason just rolled his eyes for those who cannot see that, because it is radio.
And so, in the first, you know, few paragraphs, you learn that the creator of this virtual world has died and without an heir, and he's uber rich. So he basically makes it, find this Easter egg, and then my fortune will be yours. And so all these people are just like, oh my gosh, I have to find it. And it's this whole culture and everything else. And it's again, you learn in the first chapter that the main character is the one who finds it.
Oh, okay, that's not a spoiler there. Okay,
that's not a spoiler, but the couple is...
But this
is,
next part is... Is it going to ruin, like, the book, or...
No,
it's
just...
Should I plug my ears?
No, maybe I'll skip it.
We'll just say, there's a couple in that your... And so the people who have read it,
yeah,
or like, they'll know. Will
probably,
they know?
Yeah.
Okay.
More than likely.
Okay. Well, I'll give it credit just because it's a dystopian world that's not based on robot jocks. So.
Yeah. Robot jocks.
And I mean, the book is especially for our generation who grew up in the 80s. Mm. Because the creator of the online world grew up in the 80s and was a total recluse and everything. So it's very pop culture 80s inside their virtual world.
Interesting.
So, these egg hunters, they have to immerse themselves in 80s culture, you know, and this is slightly in the future, you know, saying it would be outdated information, except for the fact that it's the you know, the creator who says, no, this is important. And they're like, oh my gosh, this is important. You know, so they have to, oh man, if you want to get the egg, you have to know, you know, the year and name of all the albums that Metallica put out or something like that. You know, I'm just throwing that out there. So,
oh my god, Easter eggs.
You know, I mean, like the main character has a DeLorean. Nice. You know, so things like that. It is totally for our age group, you know.
Okay.
Okay, and then so the last one.
Before you get to your last one, yes. We had a fan, mm-hmm. super comic book fan, awesome guy, call in and actually made some suggestions. He's driving at the moment, so because I told him like, oh, post them
get
on the
off.
Facebook, post them on the Facebook. But he brought up some points about Batman and Talia. Being a more interesting relationship mm-hmm. type of thing. I'll try to paraphrase the things that he said. And then when your mention of not Harley Quinn not being a sympathetic character, he actually made some suggestions of things to check out that might make you see her as more of one. So
I'm nodding. Okay.
I told him to post the stuff on our Facebook page or however in the act, so you can check it out. And also, I'll just give a shout out to everyone that's listening. If you would like to participate on the show, we have obviously our Facebook page, Robots Attack. You can tweet us, Robots Attack Me.
Yep.
You can send us an email, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And if you do want to participate on the air with phone calls and stuff, let us know if that's something you're interested in too, and we'll try to get that sort of going mm-hmm. on it right now and, you know, practice it and get it smooth and running, because we definitely love it when you participate.
Yes.
And we're checking these things all the time. We have Twitter and Facebook and email. So if you contact us, it is live that we will respond to you.
Yeah. Yes. And obviously for those who are driving and that sort of thing who can't do that stuff, don't, you know, be safe.
Please don't.
Drive,
yeah.
You know? Yeah.
We'll still keep an eye on it even when we're not on the show. So we'll still interact with you all.
Yeah. But yes, we thank you all for listening and, mm-hmm. you know, participating on the show.
Yeah.
So the last one.
Well,
on
actually, before we move on.
Oh, okay.
So the Batman and Joker and Harley thing. I actually have it was the first run of the comic books that came out after the animated series. So it is
Batman Adventures.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
Mm.
And it is actually the whole Joker Harley backstory.
Oh, the Mad Love.
Yes, you've seen
it. I know
it.
That one.
Yeah.
Yes.
And so that was one of the things that I think really did make Harley a sympathetic character for me personally, because you got to see just how manipulated she was by Joker.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, oh, this is such sad sob story that he's weaving to her. And then Batman's just all like, psh, which one did he give you?
Yeah. Let me pull out the Rolodex. Batman would have a Rolodex.
Totally.
He's still rocking the
still rocking the
it's the bat.
I'm just
Rolodex.
Imagining like the
Dex.
Utility
the
belt.
Dex, yeah.
He presses a button and then a little Rolodex like pops out.
That'd be awesome.
It makes a little flipping noise.
But yeah.
I got three of them right here.
But yeah, I believe also with the Batman Talia thing about also Bruce Wayne's son. So mm-hmm. there was
The current story arc, it's
but yeah, we'll definitely check out the post that mm-hmm. he leaves and say, but again, this is Jen's list, so
yes.
You know, we may not agree with it, and we'll definitely
judge it with
mock
our judgy eyes.
All right, and the last one, again, I've already mentioned that I love eccentric characters, and you can't get a whole lot much more eccentric these days than the current movie incarnation of Tony Stark.
Mm-hmm.
So I have Tony Stark.
And himself?
That sounds about right.
Correct answer.
Tony Stark in the mirror. So Tony Stark and Pepper Potts.
Okay.
Again, it's the dynamic I think is interesting, and Jason's giving me a sideways.
No, I was just going to agree with that one.
Oh, yay, I got an agreement.
Yes.
But yeah, because I mean, he is just totally in his old world, totally self-absorbed, and she's there to keep him grounded, both in, you know, you're being a dork, you're being a jerk, and stop it, you know, mm-hmm. in addition to, you know, giving him his social security number. So that's my list.
Okay. Now, did you gentlemen have any particular lists? You want me to read off some ones from
I just made a list of couples that I thought of and that I think are kind of interesting to the geek culture at large.
Okay. Did you put them in any particular order? Or
No.
Okay.
This is just,
these are all going to be real people, aren't they?
What? No. Why?
You guys should have seen the confused look on Caleb's face right there.
It was adorable.
Because, yeah, they were supposed to be real.
What? All right,
Batman.
Then. Veronica Belmont and Ryan Block. How about that?
Yes.
Brian Lee O'Malley and Hope Larson. Bam.
Hey. Oh, man.
Yeah, it did me.
You can't beat me.
I'm not geeky enough. I don't know who these people are.
It's a different circle of geekdom. Some of the other ones I thought of were Emma Frost and modern Scott Summers, the post Jean Grey death Scott Summers. It's been an interesting sort of change up for him, going for the not so. His Boy Scout veneer wore off and he became more cynical and hard edged and kind of a jerk, their relationship became a lot more interesting.
Yeah, and it's kind of cool too because their names should almost swap. She ends up becoming like more warm, and he becomes like completely frosty. And it's awesome.
He is pretty frigid as it is right now. Let's see.
If you are just joining us, we're Robots Attack on KSCU Santa Clara 103.3 FM, the Underground Sound. We're discussing some kick-ass geek couples, we think. And so continue.
Oh, I was just going to say it reminds me of something that I saw. I think it was one of the numerous things that I'm a fan of that are geeky online, but somebody had reposted a little sketchy drawing of Scott Summers in the full Cyclops outfit, like spraying the red light from his face, looking frustrated, and it was, roses are red, violets are red, everything's red!
That's pretty good.
And it fits well with the one we're talking about.
Yep. Then there was Wesley and Buttercup.
Oh, yay!
Wait, what's this?
Wesley and Buttercup.
Kidding,
from...
right?
You have.
Yeah, he's kidding.
I'm sorry. For some reason, I was thinking the Powerpuff Look. Girls. And I was like, I didn't remember a romantic character in that one. Now I get it.
And if it helps, Wav. Two love is what brings us together today.
To die.
The most overrated movie ever. There, I said it.
Get out.
No.
Mike, no, don't mute me. Don't mute me.
Don't mute me.
And now when someone's flailing at their arms at the mic.
It's not me.
That was me doing a Jen impression.
Oh, sad face.
Again, me doing a Jen impression. Because her mic's off.
Oh.
That's pretty spot on.
I've been working on it.
Touche.
You guys are mean.
Get you back on
that
subject.
That was me. Read that one. Staff it.
And let Caleb continue.
Let's see. I'll keep it short. Just let's see. What was the other one that I was looking at just a second ago? Aragorn Arwen.
Oh.
Okay.
That's a one I always thought was pretty good. Then a personal favorite of mine, John Steed and Emma Peel from the original Avengers.
The original. Oh, okay. Right.
The live action one.
A little bit of BBC.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know me.
Down with the BBC.
BBC.
And then...
BBC has 1, 2, 3.
The channels.
Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy.
I apologize to everybody.
Peter Parker and Gwen Stacy. I vote that one above
yes.
Peter Parker and Mary Jane.
Any particular incarnation? or just in general?
In general, I prefer the character development of Gwen Stacy in relation to Peter Parker, because they actually seem like a couple that would work.
Especially from Spider-Man 3.
Yeah. No. God.
The best, the most romantic and best of the Spider-Man films. Spider-Man 3.
And Venom, this, the performance is so nuanced and intense.
I
couldn't take it. My monocle popped out like five times.
The jazzy undertones. The jazzy undertones. Yes. Spot on.
Yeah, my monocle popped out like five times during that movie, I swear.
That's why I got Velcro.
My goodness, you have Velcro for yours? I should have thought of that. Yeah.
Yes, we instantly go into British accents every time we talk about Spider-Man 3.
Makes sense.
It's our thing.
It has to, you know. And then...
Spider-Man.
Spider-Man jumper. So yeah, that was kind of the building on of Jen's. Oh, and Superman and Wonder Woman. I think that's a pretty decent pairing.
Okay.
Yeah, I thought Lois Lane was a bad pairing, but it just seems like those two would actually, you know, work.
Yeah, and if you disagree, like, start watching some Kevin Smith movies.
Yeah.
All will be real.
Okay. Let's see. Well, I'll go through this movie one, since a lot of the ones we've mentioned have been comic and stuff like that. But they have as number 10, again, I grabbed this off of IGN. They have Indy and Marion from Raiders of the Lost Ark.
I had contemplated putting that on my list.
You can see that one. Yeah, it's not that. It's pretty good.
And then, were you gonna?
I was just gonna lean into the mic and nod for no good reason.
This guy over here.
that is radio. And then we have another Harrison Ford pairing: Han and Leia, the original Star Wars trilogy.
Who's surprised?
Yeah.
That one's almost has to be in there.
Yeah. Now this one will throw all of you off.
Because
I don't know if all of you have seen this movie. Clarence in Alabama from True Romance.
Nope. Never saw it.
Can't say I know that one.
Okay, yeah. Yeah, that one's pretty good.
Yeah. Number 7. I don't think any of you watched
this. Like Brad Pitt in that movie.
Yeah. Yeah, he was good.
I'm not sure, but I think that might have been his first role, too.
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah, I can't remember if that was his very first one or definitely. It's definitely like...
Early.
Okay. Then we have number 7, which this is a movie that I don't think any of you liked. So Mr. Incredible and Elastigirl from The Incredibles. So
yeah. I liked that one.
I'll gloss over that since
that one was
I know
good.
You guys really aren't that big of fans of Pixar stuff. So I don't want to, you know...
I can't see your sarcasm.
Except that that's probably my favorite Pixar movie. I'm not as big of a fan of the Pixar movies as a lot of the rest of the peeps, but that one is definitely top notch.
I actually don't like peeps.
Oh.
Nobody really does. I don't know how that company is
staying
in business.
Yeah. Well, you never know if people like them and stuff like that. Next, we have number 6.
I like candy corn.
Hey, I like candy corn.
True Romance was after A River Runs Through It.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Dang.
Wow, okay.
Huh. Downgrade. I wonder if it was produced earlier and just released later or something
I suspect
like that.
So.
Yeah, it's got to be. Okay, number 6. We have Violet and Corky from Bound. This is
Can't say I know that one.
Super Jason, you know this one.
Okay, yeah. I like that one. Yeah.
All right, number 5, going back to the geek. Neo and Trinity from the Matrix trilogy.
Boo. No. I reject this one.
Don't get me wrong, I love Carrie-Anne Moss, but that was no. Yeah. Really, really awkward.
What are you talking about?
Really awkward.
Yeah.
Nobody wanted to see that love scene. Nobody.
That's actually mentioned in the article that I will post on our Facebook page. Yeah. Yeah. Okay, number four. I'm sure you all will like this one. Wash and Zoe from Serenity.
Yay.
Cue that.
Yeah, go ahead, Jason.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, okay then. I think the only reason why I disagree is because I love these as individuals, but I think because we only got, you know, like what, 10 episodes to see them interact, I didn't really feel the chemistry a whole lot.
And a movie.
And a movie. But it, you 90%
know, of a movie.
Oh, spoilers.
You only watched 90%? Why didn't you finish the last 10%? You were committed, right?
That's true.
And it makes me sad that we didn't get to see those relationships develop. And I'm not talking just about like in between them. Like I've often left wondering, it's like, well, oh, like how did Jane and Inara interact? Because we never really got to see it because the show didn't go on long enough. And it makes me so sad. But this is sort of another one where it's like, yeah, they're husband and wife and we got to see them interact some, but I didn't really feel the chemistry myself and it makes me sad. I'm sure it would have been a lot better if there had been more episodes to see.
I'm pretty sure eventually Jane and Shepherd Book get together. There was a little tension there. They're always spotting each other. Just saying.
Do you have some fan fiction we need to know about?
Yeah.
That I drew myself. No, actually, I would not want to see that. And I apologize to all who would. But yeah, I was just having the fun.
He's a pilot, she's a soldier, and together they are one of Joss Whedon's most enduring couples. Throughout their relationship, which weaves through the Firefly series and Serenity, they've fought wars, battled innumerable space nasties, and survived impossible odds, yet throughout it all, they remain in love, respect of one another, and totally lovely. That's the little paragraph about them.
I just really like the dichotomy. They're perfect as far as that goes, because it's so much like the battle-hardened versus the light and sassy, and that's cool.
That I will certainly agree with.
Alrighty. Well, number three has already been mentioned. This is relating to the actual like movie Batman franchise, but Batman and Catwoman. Number two, they have Mickey and Mallory from Natural Born Killers. Was not expecting that on the list, but
yeah.
The list is titled Badass Couples, so yeah, they were pretty
there's a
tough.
Lot of killing that goes on in that.
This is true.
For some reason, I don't know why.
And number one sort of fits along kind of the same lines in a sense. Bonnie and Clyde. Well, that's their number one.
Who are real, correct? Or were?
They are real historical figures.
Well, there you go.
Yeah.
Well,
so that's something.
Commander Shepard and fill in the blank.
Yeah. that one, I was actually really thinking about that. I'm like, well, how do you put that one down? Because each Shepard would play it differently. And you know,
which is the beauty of it, and says bad things about Shepard. But
well, it depends on how you play your Shepard. It just means he knows people. You know.
All right.
And then on that note, I think we'll wrap up the show. If you have any couples that we didn't mention or want to chime in on, definitely. Caleb will tell you how you can do that.
That's right. You can find us on Facebook. You do a search for Robots Attack, two words. That will pop up at the top probably of that. And then you can find us on Twitter. Our handle is Robots Attack Me. And finally, there is our email address, robotsattackshow@gmail.com. And finally, you can always find us on our own webpage, robotsattack.me. There's archive episodes there for catching up on more awesome goodness, and also the interact button, which has links to all of the aforementioned things, email, Facebook, and Twitter, which we keep open during the show to interact with you. Please please do.
Yeah, we like it when you participate. And on that note as well, on behalf of myself and Caleb.
Yes.
Jen.
Yes.
Super Jason.
Yes.
Hello, hello. I was trying to do like the
barbershop entire, quartet.
Yeah.
I liked
sort
it.
Of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I liked it.
Did it work?
Okay. I liked
it. I thought so.
I was thinking more like the Ghostbusters thing, like.
Okay.
You know, when they'd power up.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
Do. Re. Egon.
Dun dun.
There you go.
All righty. We want to thank you for listening to Robots Attack. We're here every Thursday from 7-ish to 9-ish.
Yes.
Bringing you the geek-centric talk. And
thanks for wasting your time with us.
Yeah, yeah. There we go.
We enjoy it. Hang out.
We enjoy wasting your time.
Wait.
Yes, right?
No.
Or
come back and hang out with us next week. That's all we had. That's all we want to say.
Yeah. And have a great weekend. Hopefully you had a great Thursday/Valentine's Day. Have a good holiday. It's a holiday weekend.
It's a holiday weekend, yeah.
Do something fun if you want to. I can't force you to go and do that. So
unless you're Grumpy Cat.
Grumpy Cat says, I had fun once. It was awful.
Yeah. All righty. Thanks again. We are Robots Attack. Take it easy.
Raccoon. Veronica. Mistel.